we're starting the Mystic Pete Chronicles.
This one is called Hamlet. Yeah, I stole it.
Goes the taxi cab, I don't miss a night of my social security, cause you won't take me seriously. Badly glee glue 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 glue. Doesn't make me an offender, doesn't make me a dummy. Dystopia, dystopia, film fun. It's a hard day's night like the Beatles, that made me a Frank. I wrote a diary, or Shakespeare, and he wrote Hamlet. Oh, I'm a bouncy pixie elf fairy. I do lies in your arteries. Fan of the gear like a secretary. An oblivion of someone who loves you. That's dinner. I'm a bouncy pixie elf fairy. I do lies in your arteries. Fan of the gear like a secretary, an oblivion of someone who loves you. That's dinner. I balance it all. Perpetuation will break my pedal, and I'm appalled. Ooh, okay. I balance it all. Perpetuation will break my pedal, and I'm about. What's a he got on? Focus, but my brain's still in low. Am I stable on my feet? Am I too old to order taxis? I don't mention my age. Social security, cause you compare me to Mary, she's 33. Glue, 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 glue. It doesn't make me an offender, doesn't make me a dummy. Dystopia, dystopia, film fun. It's a hard day's night like the Beatles told me a Frank. I wrote a diary or a Shakespeare. Perpetuation will break my pedal, and I'm appalled. Ooh, can I balance it all? Perpetuation will break my pedal, and I'm
starting the Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and stories, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. today's show, I interview rising stars Nesca and Libby Rose. At the beginning of today's show, I played a tune called Hamlet, recorded live here in studio the day of the interview. After the interview, I play their tunes just being released called Aware and Hippo. And then after that, Epithets and Queen of Vulgar, also recorded live in studio. After Nesca and Libby's music, I do a little homage to the beloved singer Melanie, who just passed. I play her tunes Brand New Key, Look What They've Done to My Song, Ma, and Lay Down, Candles in the Rain. All right, stay tuned for the interview. Mystic Pete Chronicles. It's February 13th, 2024. Mystic Pete here with Nesca Rose and Libby Rose, two musicians I found on the internet, of all things. Can you imagine that? I like finding something good and positive and wholesome and wonderful on Instagram. Whoa. So here we are. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Can nice you introduce yourselves?
Oh, yes.
I'm Nesca Rose.
I'm Libby Rose.
Yeah, we are twins.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us. I have a question before we start. Did you call yourself Mystic Pete because of the movie Mystic Pizza?
Because of the movie Mystic Pizza.
I had the same thought.
You're asking a very complicated and deep question, but I think we should get this out of the way. Well, I was a musician and I'm looking for a stage name.
Yeah.
And I would play often. I played cello and I played raves. Wow. And you know, I just needed a recognizable image.
Uh-huh.
So I'm in mysticism. So I came up with that. And then I'm trying to explain to people how to spell it. And I'll say Mystic Pete, like Mystic Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But then it complicates and confuses everything because P-E-T-E and P-I-Z-Z-A, they don't.
Yeah,
anyway, they don't.
So it's just a mess.
It's a
nomenclature mess. That's what it is. But
playing cello at raves, that's cool.
That's a party trick.
I don't think
trick.
I've ever seen a cellist at a rave.
Yeah, back in the day, I did quite a few of them. It's a bit challenging. You're supposed to go on at 1 a.m. And here it is 4 a.m. The sound guy's drunk and you're trying to, you know, play this classical music that Beethoven composed for. But yeah,
wow.
Switched over to radio at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And now my Saturday show actually features the DJ community. So I'm still very involved. I get invited to all kind of parties and raves. And, mm-hmm.
To play more cello?
I'll be sleeping.
To play more cello?
Well, you know, just because I'm allegedly some cool guy, mm-hmm. you know, with the radio show, but otherwise they would have nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nesca, why don't you start and just, we'll take turns talking, and how did all of this talent blossom in your life? I mean, like, in 30 seconds, I'm watching your Instagram, some just homemade video, and go, wow, this is a lot of talent.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. I mean, I don't know. It just kind of started as a habit. I started playing instruments with Libby as well when we were like 5 years old. And, you know, you go into a school and there's a lot of structure. It's classical music. And I really didn't like that framing of being classically trained in piano, and I always wanted to play guitar and just tell stories, because my first passion was writing short stories. It wasn't even like playing music. And then when I started playing guitar at 8, I incorporated my love for writing short stories and music, and that just became the songs. But it wasn't my intention to be a singer. I just wanted to express something, and I just kept writing and writing. And something that I'm very lucky to have, that I don't really stop with it, and I'm very lucky to have a talented twin sister who has all the elements that I don't have, which is like perfect pitch and just putting everything together. So I think our blend is what makes our sound whole.
Thank you.
Beautifully put. And what about you, Libby?
Well, yes, we both started playing classical piano when we were 5. I stuck with it. I really loved it. As this interview goes on, you will find out how different we are. I stuck with the classical. And then eventually, as I, you know, grew into my adolescence, I kind of grew out of the loving the classical framing, as Nesca put. And I took a break, and that was around the time that Nesca started songwriting. And ever since she started, she always wanted to do something together, like a collaborative thing. And I've always been really insecure of my voice, and I'm like, no way, Jose. And then it took her a really long time, and eventually she just procured me to start. And it started with, we had this show, just like a house show, and she's like, how about you just do one song with me? And then I was like, you know what, I kind of like this. So eventually I just...
And the reaction was good.
Yeah. We were around like 12.
Yeah.
And we just started doing more things together, and I, as time went on, I just loved it more and more. And now we perform a bunch, and I can't imagine it any other way. Like Nesca said, her songs, like, and the way she started songwriting, that's how it comes through to me. Every time she plays me a new song, like, it's just kind of like a long journey poem that is like musical. It's never like, oh, chorus, verse. It's never like that. It's always like a soulful poem. And then I have the privilege of like supporting that with my stuff.
It sounds like this wasn't some contrived thing where you guys want to be on American Idol.
No.
Or be rock stars or some big famous celebrities. This just kind of blew into your life. The muse came. You just felt like doing it.
Totally.
And it's just coming out of you very organically. And that's the feeling I got. And I can just, I don't know, kind of tell in a second when people are putting on all this contrivance and, you know, just like they're more interested in the celebrity of it, which I find very unattractive, and I just can see through it immediately. I just turn it, you know, it's even somebody on TV, I just turn it off immediately because it's empty, it's hollow. But then there's this other group of people who just want to express themselves. They want to be artists, and it's not so much about this goal of this pretend idea of performing for the, you know, it has power.
Yeah.
When it has this authentic quality.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I think it's the only way for it to go on, you know, because the way we express ourselves is just because we love it so much. And I think that's the only way we'll do this until we're like, I don't know, until we're no longer here. But if you're just there for like the imagery of it, you eventually get
burnt. You burn out.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, being in this field for a long time, the desire for fame is not a strong enough motivation to see through how difficult it is. Because it's really hard being a musician. It's hard to achieve success. It's hard to get on stage even. And if you're doing it for some kind of superficial purpose, you give up. It's only those of us who have to do it. And we just have to sit, you know, we're the ones who oftentimes will find success. So you have some recordings coming up, or you're getting things on tape these days?
Yeah, we're recording a bunch of live videos of our songs, and then we're also working with our producer, David Greenbaum, on some songs that are going to come out. We released a song that came out in January called Hippo, and we're going to have another one soon called Aware, and that's coming out March 5th.
Okay.
Yeah.
March 5th, 2024.
Yeah.
Oh. And just after I just got done knocking it, well, what is the big dream for you? You want to be celebrities and what? Have you thought about it? Where do you want to go with it?
With the songs, where I want.
Yeah, artists, musicians.
Well,
No, you go.
My favorite aspect of music is just performing. So just getting to like go all over the world and perform and get to enjoy and connect it with people. That's my favorite thing to do with these songs. And I just really like how it came to be. I think the collaboration we had really showed the type of sound that I want, and I'm really happy with it. So just being like, here, world, this is what we made, and this is us and our image, and that's it. Just getting the world to see that.
Yeah, I mean, same exact thing for me. Like, when I picture a bigger vision, I just see us, like, performing to a lot of people, and that's the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not the dream.
Not the dream, because...
That's a word of the past.
That's
Libby.
A word of the past. No, like, that is the future. Is that better?
No, that is the now.
That is the now. That is the now.
That's the now, huh?
Yeah.
Name it and claim it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But the future will never come.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
We thrive on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we love, since we're also actors, we love to just... have fun and take the real, like, the seriousness out of it. And what I mean by that is, like, we love just having banter. We have this twin thing where we just kind of ping pong, and we love just being, you know, funny and goofy and showing our personalities on stage. Like, we find that sometimes when we see other artists, it's like there's a bit of a disconnect, and we always make sure that we like to engage with the audience.
So the entire performance is part of the show.
Exactly.
And just the talking between the songs and just drawing people in that way.
Yeah.
Well, Neska, how do these ideas or songs or stories come? Is it more of a dreamlike thing or imagination? Or, I mean, could you even talk about the creative process?
Well, a lot of the songs, they come to me subconsciously. Yeah, a lot of it happens right before I go to sleep. And then I'm like, wow, I'm about to go to sleep. Why do I have this idea right now? But I don't tell myself, okay, I'm going to write this song about this. It's just something I live through, and then it just sort of comes out, honestly. It's stuff that I absorb, whether it's a book that I'm reading or a life experience that I'm having. It sort of just spills out, and it's usually a very disorganized thought, and then I just kind of refine it and it becomes what it is. But I don't like to overthink my message so much, because then I just get too in my head about it and I will never like what I do. So I usually just experience, write it, and then show it to my family. If they like it, we keep going.
So you just let the creative process happen once and all, and then craft it along the way, but try not to interfere with the channeling.
And I don't know what I'm writing about. Only after it's been complete, like, someone will say, oh, is this about blah, blah, blah? And I say, oh, I guess so. I guess that's what it's about. But yeah, I honestly don't know what the creative process is.
You let your subconscious write.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah, sometimes it's coming through the transmission.
Yeah.
And it's not till later till we figure out that. I've heard, or even filmmakers, they just make a film and then somebody comes along and points things out and they go, oh, we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really neat. And it's just a genuine creative channeling, really. Well, let's talk about the arts or music, or your music and spirituality.
Yeah. I mean, it goes hand in hand. Like, again, we grew up with music. We grew up in a very spiritual environment, and it's always just been like a healing force, music, I mean. Yeah. I mean, it's always been a part of our lives, and I think that in writing music, it's just, that is a spiritual process. It's mindful.
You focus on one thing that you have, and kind of like, it's not even necessarily blocking out everything else you feel. It's just recognizing how you feel and accepting it, and that's what comes through with the music that I write. So sometimes it could be very uncomfortable and very painful, but you just have to go through it. And then when we perform it, it's sort of like a reconnection to that feeling I had while I was writing it.
Yeah, it comes from the spirit, which is spiritual.
That's why some of the songs that you saw on Instagram that we posted, some of them are about very heavy subjects. So when we do perform them, sometimes I need a break. Like after recording one song, I just couldn't do it because I remembered the time I wrote it in, and it just affected me really badly. So sometimes it could affect you, but then you follow it up with a happy song,
yeah,
and it goes away.
Yeah,
it goes deep, and you put your whole self into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we're talking about, well, the Greeks had two words for it, and this is a little bit my interpretation of logos and ecstasis. Yes. Mm-hmm. So logos is more of the word, like the concept, the theory.
Yeah.
Ecstasis, the ecstasy, or they call it mania, the mania.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like, the ecstasy kind of needs to come first. Like, you have to taste of that nectar. You have to feel what some kind of transcendental experience is, and you do that through performing and drawing other people into, you know, kind of a little bit of a timeless, magical reality.
Mm-hmm.
But then logos is like the word, the symbols, the law of it, the meaning. I think people get in trouble when, or religions, when it becomes all about ideas and theology,
yeah.
But it gets completely divorced from the supernal experience and touching something ineffable and enchanted, and of course, purely kind and sweet and welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get religions that become like mean, hateful, and so wrapped up in their own ideas of what God is, you know, becomes completely removed from ecstasy. But here you are in this kind of pure state of connecting people with something, with a higher force.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan when a message is too explicit in a song. I like for it to be up to everyone else's perception, which is why I don't, not that I have any very intense ideologies in my songs, but at the end of the day, like, we all connect to our emotions and music, so that's just what I like to do when I perform it. And we could all apply our ideas into a social aspect, a romantic aspect. That's never, like, about a specific idea.
Not getting too preachy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to interpretation. Like you said, sometimes you write something and then you have no idea what it's about in the moment, and then someone else is like, wow, this is so about that. And you're like, I guess, if that's what it means to you.
Do we have similar voices, do you think? We get that sometimes, but I don't know.
So I know some sisters are so locked in, they can get their vibrato lined up.
Oh.
It's like they can get so synchronized.
Mm. Yeah, I give Libby a big challenge when we perform, because a lot of people say sometimes it sounds like you guys are just singing in one
voice.
And it comes from Libby, your perfect pitch, that you could really align the same attitude that I have when singing. But I don't do any of that work. It's just Libby. Like, she's like, how could I match Nesca perfectly? But
yeah. I mean, thank you. That's a big compliment. But yeah, I mean, I think around 13, I started learning harmonies, and this, like, very quickly after, I just developed like a third ear, and now I don't even, like, people ask me, oh, do you write your harmonies? I'm like, no, I just hear her, and then I do it immediately.
Totally
and
intuitive.
Yeah, and I think it, again, going back to the twin thing, like, it's so special. I mean, I feel so lucky just in life, but also in music. I can feel it. When we perform, it's like we're one thing.
Mm, isn't that something?
Yeah.
You just both trust each other and lean on each other and give to each other and show up with your various talents that are a little different.
Mm-hmm,
but
yeah.
It's just a really a great unison, ultimately.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to be playing some of your recorded music. And here in my studio, we will be recording you live for a minute, just you know, I just get a live take of something. I find it just adds to a radio show.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to hear what you're talking about.
Yeah, we love that. We love performing again.
Same.
So you wrote a song before recent events in the world that were pretty catastrophic.
Yeah.
But it had a lot of meaning and a lot of relevance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a song called Propaganda. And before an explicit, very political thing happened, I just kind of wrote it on a social aspect and how people just like to push their ideologies on things in life. And I wrote that song just saying, like, hey, like, let's just all be here together. And then we released it after more things happened, and it was born into a new meaning. So usually it's cool when those things happen, when songs get reborn again into something completely different.
Well, now we're almost on the topic of artists as shaman.
Yeah.
And so the larger issue is this: we are in the world, we can make music that's just happy, or, you know, just love songs that's really unrelated to what's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, right now, there's so many extremely difficult things and potentially catastrophic situations before the whole world. I mean, we're in a very vulnerable and perhaps a very vulnerable and dangerous time of humanity. So, I mean, what do the artists do? Do we just ignore that and write, I love you, I love you? Or do we want to address it symbolically? Do we want to address it literally? And this is a choice we have to make. And I think some artists have been in other times of history of great change and danger and regretted not speaking up more because they had this public forum and people were listening to them. And here they're just, you know, writing about the happy little village. But so, but it's a difficult question for us how we interact with the world on that, well, political level, on that social level. So back to the issue of artists as shaman. Well, I mean, you know, is the shaman just taking people into some kind of expanded, altered state during the concert, or are we actually a larger understanding of the shaman as someone who helps heal society? So now the shaman is almost a political figure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this idea of, like, prophecy, like you can write a song and then the next month suddenly it has whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Well, was that the whole, you know, were the spirits working with you already, like, precognitively to do this? Because it was all imminent. I'm getting pretty lofty here, but...
No, I get it.
No, I completely understand. And at the end of the day, you're always gonna relate to how people feel about the situation and what you have within you. So if you just write about that and not think, oh, should I address a situation or should I ignore it? Just go with how you feel, and then the meaning will be renewed every time something new happens.
Yeah.
Well, we've gone pretty deep in this conversation with a couple of young emerging musicians, and I'm very enjoyably deep because that's what I do. But and I'm so glad to catch you guys on the way up, because you know, it seems like your destiny is very strong.
Thank you.
So why don't we set up the mics and do a little living room concert?
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Nesca Rose and Livy Rose. What's your website?
Thank you. My website, just go Nesca Rose on YouTube.
N-E-S-K-A.
Yeah, N-E-S-K-A Rose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where can people see you perform?
We perform regularly at Hotel Cafe. I post about it, so you can go
see. I do
see
too.
It.
Yeah.
Easy to find you.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pete.
Thank you.
I'm the type to be a high. Where was the fire at before we were alone? Stroke my mind and I know what you mean when you said that there's nothing to say. But I suspect there are some things you want to find. Not the objects you mention, it's how you drifted along. I said thank you, please, and thank you. Well, what do I get on? A jury to us, and now we stand in conjunction.
Big.
so this next one is called Epithets. We're currently working on it, but I think it unleashes a whole different thing when we just do it live, yeah. Two of us. Yeah, this is Epithets.
For real, you are the queen of vulgar. So when I saw you going in that imaginary club, I envisioned doing a mouthful of oath, but it won't. A betty up a dub a do in the flesh, you look like my mirror too. I'm drunk on that grain of whiteness. Fill the rock, fill the frame, so why? You talk to that guy over there, don't you talk to that guy over there.
Okay.
So bitch, please, you don't know me at all. Let me count but I liked it when I was sober. 00 gives when controlling your voice. I think your dripping cup was really an illusion. Then you came through from all that grip begins to prove how you were tired from fixing your dead body to move. So bitch, please, you don't know me at all. Master of nothing for real, you are the queen of vulgar. I'm drunk on that question of why, filled with grown into strength. So it's a matter of volume, so let's all hit a race. Let's all hit a race. I just know that you gave me all the respect that I need. No, 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 no.
Wow. I rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something. Something for me. Oh, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. I ride my bike, I roller skate. Don't drive no car. Don't go too fast, but I go pretty far. For somebody who don't drive, I've been all around the world. Some people say I done all right. My soul.
I wish I could find a good book to live in. Wish I could find a good book. Well, if I could find a real good book, I'd never have to come out and look at what they've done to my soul. La 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 la. It'll all be alright, Mom. Maybe it'll all be okay. Well, if the people are buying tears, I'll be rich someday, Mom. Look what they've done to my son. Ils ont changé ma chanson, ma. Ils ont changé ma chanson. C'est la seule chose que je peux faire et ce n'est pas bon, ma. Ils ont changé ma chanson. Look what they've done to my son, ma. Look what they done to my son, Ma. Well, they tied it up in a plastic bag, turned it upside down, Ma. Look what they done to my son. Ils ont changé ma chanson, Ma. Ils ont changé ma chanson. Look what they've done to my soul, Mama. Look what they've done to my soul. It's the only thing I can do, all right. And they turn it upside down, Mama. Look what they've done to my soul.
Lay down, lay down, lay low down. Let your heart.
We are coming to the end of the Mystic Pete Chronicles. You could reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. In today's show, I featured the upcoming stars Neska and Libby Rose. We started with their tune called Hamlet, then the interview, then Aware and Hippo, just being released, then Epithets and Queen of Vulgar, recorded here in studio. Then after Neska and Libby's music, I did a little homage to the beloved singer Melanie, who just passed. I played Brand New Key. By the way, some radio stations wouldn't play this most innocent of tunes because they read obscene material into it, Brand New Key. Then I played Look What They've Done to My Song, Ma. And we just wrapped things up with Melanie's Lay Down, Candles in the Rain. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with the very best of talk radio. Mystic Peter.